done it sooner without risking your life. She was tiny, and dare I say cute, as she shot me a reproachful grin. When Gunner stepped closer, the odd energy sensation tripled, filling me up like an overflowing teacup. I shook my head, studying my body for clues to this new power. I knew my body better than most people knew their own, having studied the relationship between it and my magic over the years, but I came up with no alternative theories. It was happening again. I had reached a new plateau, and it was feeding off those magical beings around me, namely Gunner and Officer Marlin, as it matured. But that meant she was... Whether I think you're an archangel or not is my own business, not yours. I know what I saw. You were glowing with power? She fumbled at a choice of words. And you saved all of us. There's no telling what that... She glanced at Gunner for the correct word. Gunner gave it, face serious.
Dragon, would have done if you hadn't slain her.
She let out a light laugh, like only cute little girls could manage, and shook her head. If you aren't a dragon-slaying hero, then you're a savior archangel. Pick your poison. But you're one of the two. I would be honored to join you and Agent Randolph here in your next dragon slaying. But please, call me Tori. I shook my head immediately. You almost died today. We can't risk anyone else. Especially I cut myself off, feeling like I had almost dropped a racial slur. It's okay, say it. Regular. But I think you'd be surprised. She stepped back from me for a moment and reached out to Gunner. My werewolf friend sighed and withdrew a bent piece of metal from behind his back, handing it to Tori. The petite bombshell took it, frowned for a moment, and then placed one of her dainty fists on either end of a long, straight segment of the bar. She lifted her eyes to mine, watching me with a grin, and began to bend the metal perfectly in half, not an ounce of strain crossing her face. It bent like a twisty tie at the grocery store. My eyes widened in surprise, and her smile stretched wider. I am no regular, Master Temple. I remembered her shattering her patrol car window with one blow of her elbow, and realized that in most cases, it wouldn't have been possible for even another man. Maybe adrenaline would help, but most would need a cushion to protect their elbow joint from permanent damage, or would have to take several attempts to shatter it so efficiently. She had made it look simple, easy, and she also showed no signs of an injured elbow. She tossed the bent metal bar into the nearby grass. No one but us had seen it, as they all seemed preoccupied with the random thief they had just caught. Agent Randolph offered me a job with his new team, although he didn't tell me what the team was called. She glanced curiously at Gunner, but the werewolf's face remained stoic. He just told me what the goals of his team are, and what kind of criminals we'd be going up against. He said that he needed your approval before he allowed me to join the pack. She waited for me to speak. Even energized, I was still a little slow. Pack? I asked with a frown. That's what he called it. A band of brothers kind of thing. Or sisters, in my case. Is it like the He-Man Woman Haters Club? Because I don't want to crash your groove or anything. She grinned, making my testosterone respond. It was definitely a bedroom grin. Dark, dirty, and full of improper yet enlightening insinuations. Or maybe I was still thinking of Indy from this morning. Is there a reason that he needs your permission for my help? Are you in charge? She asked politely, face neutral of any disrespect. I shook my head and began to speak, but Gunner answered.
I trust Nate, Master Temple with my life, and now you've seen why. We all have secrets, as I showed you mine a few seconds ago, but he is one of the scariest men I have ever met, and if he says you aren't up for recruitment, then I'm sorry to say that I would have to agree. This is a hobby of his, and he survived encounters that are even less believable than what you experienced today. Many encounters like this, in fact. And the dangers will only escalate, with probably even scarier bad guys. He has veto power on my recruits.
I watched Gunner, surprised that he had told her his secret. Was it National Come-Out-of-the-Closet Day for werewolves? I didn't even want to be in your pack. And now I have veto power? That is so cool, I added sarcastically. Gunner and Tori laughed. I have to be honest, Tori. This harem of dragons is nothing to scoff at. Today was a close call, but she has sisters, and I have no idea how powerful they are. We can hope that the silver one was the strongest, but I doubt it. It's kind of like the Billy Goat's Gruff. The next one is always bigger than the one before. I had thought dragons were extinct until a few days ago, when we were attacked at my bookstore. Tori waited respectfully for my answer. Damn, I was hoping I could scare her off. Do you have kids? A family? She shook her head. Boyfriend? Again, she shook her head. Manfriend? She laughed at that, the sound tickling the sensitive parts of my neck like a kiss. I know my way around a bedroom, she spoke lasciviously, but have yet to find a lover who could accommodate my lifestyle. Before today, it had just been me helping Gunner, but now we had two new pups to take care of, and I didn't know if either were strong enough to benefit our cause, or if I was simply setting them up to die a horrible death, like pawns in a game of chess. One thing I think is essential is absolute honesty on the team. Everyone needs to know the other's strengths and weaknesses in order to play to those strengths in a life-or-death situation. You've seen what I can do. Well, some of it. I'm a wizard. I can harness, control, and manipulate energy to my will, but I'm no archangel. I use magic like others use guns. It's just a part of me. I was born into it, but it can be dangerous to be around me. I waited for her to run screaming, but if anything, she looked more content than before, relieved, as if finding a new home. Damn it, damn it, damn it! What else can you do, Tori? Is bending metal the extent of your power? Try and explain whatever you can. We need to know in order to see if it will help us. Gunner nodded approval, waiting for Tori to speak. My whole life I've been strong. I never realized how much stronger until I was involved in a fatal car accident on a date. Her voice grew distant. My date was trapped under the car, on an old country road, dying of severe blood loss due to several deadly wounds. I was scratched up, but fine. Kind of like now. I climbed out of the car, looked down at him, and knew that he was going to die. It shouldn't have been possible, but I knew if I didn't help him, he would die. I grabbed the car and lifted it off his legs. It wasn't adrenaline. I know that now because adrenaline can make me scary strong. I managed to drag him out from underneath the car, and then the cops and medics arrived. A good Samaritan must have called them. My date was too delirious from blood loss to remember what happened accurately, so no one ever knew about it. I decided to become a cop the next week. She stared inward at her own memories, and I struggled not to drop my jaw. One-handed car curl. Jesus. That might help out in a pinch. Tori's eyes refocused. I wanted to use that strength to help people, and I've been careful about stepping too much out of bounds for others to notice. But anything to do with my muscles is simply superior to others. Running, lifting weights, punching bags, you name it. It's almost as if I have extra fuel inside me waiting to ignite my muscles. Like nitrous in a car. It's just there. Gunner was quiet for a spell, as if deciding if this petite cop was worthy of the club. I nodded at him to proceed. I vote for her, Gunner, I said, confidently. We can't have a gang without the token cool girl. We need some estrogen on the team, I added with a smile. Even if she can arm wrestle better than us. Everything is better with a girl around, she added with a mysterious smirk. I frowned at that. This isn't like your usual beat as a police officer. This will be... I struggled for a word, finally saying the first thing that came to mind. Black Ops. Tori and Gunner both stared at me, as if I had spouted a prophecy. Well, damn. That's exactly what it is, isn't it? Gunner said in surprise, nodding. I'm not saying that it can be our official title or anything. We aren't spooks, but it does have to be hush-hush from the traditional police force, so that's a pretty appropriate name. Tori spoke conspiratorially.
Let's go hunt some dragons then, shall we?
I smiled back. Soon. I have to go beat up the Minotaur first, and then we can go hunt dragons. Well, after I swing by Temple Industries. Her eyes widened in disbelief for a moment, but Gunner spoke up.
He's being literal. We'll get in touch with you after the fight, and the meeting at his company, and then we'll figure out a plan.
Tori simply shook her head, mouthing Minotaur to herself. Thanks to the odd addition of their energy to mine, I was somehow refreshed, and I didn't even care how at the moment. Wizards needed nutrition to use their power. Water, food, sleep, and vitamins. If I ever forgot to eat or drink enough liquids, I found myself lethargic and utterly useless in the magical department. which meant I probably needed to grab some food and water stat, but for some reason, none of that had hindered me today. In fact, I felt stronger than ever. As long as this odd recharge gave me strength against the Minotaur, all was just dandy. Without it, I wouldn't have been up to battle him, or even light a cigarette with my magic. At that thought, I beamed. I placed a cancer stick between my lips and lit the tip with a thought.
Well, driver, where's the car?
Gunner's eyes flicked away instinctively.
Expensive cargo, boom.
He mimed an explosion with his hands. I groaned in frustration as I suddenly remembered the bloom of fire where our car had been before I had passed out. Gunner spoke fast.
But everyone survived, he added. Oh, and I managed to get your man purse before it was destroyed.
He held it up, smiling.
Satchel, asshole.
Indiana Jones carried one, and he called it a satchel. Tori laughed, tossing him a set of keys.
Officially, you can commandeer a car when necessary. I think the police owe it to you. Just try not to scratch it up. I already destroyed one, and that will come back to bite me in the ass no matter what the story. The bottom line is always money, you know?
She added with a grin. I bet you dress up nicely, Tori, I offered flirtatiously, hiding my anger at the total car. She smiled carefully, studying me.
As a matter of fact, I do.
Why? Gunner rolled his eyes.
Come on. Really, Nate?
I ignored him. We might have need of a stunning piece of eye candy to accompany us to a gala tonight. You have something to wear? Gunner looked unhappy, but resigned to the fact that she was now part of the group. I don't know if I have anything nice enough for a VIP event. I peeled off a thick stack of hundreds from my wallet and handed them to her. Get something. I don't know if you will be going, but I would like you to be prepared just in case. She backed away from the proffered cash with manicured hands up. Stop. Just take it. It's for a good cause. I'm not trying to bribe you or anything. We will need you to look convincing if you were to accompany us. We need to reek of money or they will think we don't belong. Master Nate Temple can go anywhere, I said, mocking my own title. But not with shabbily dressed peasants. Gunner grumbled at that. She finally agreed, making sure I knew just how uncomfortable she was about it all. But I recognized the smile she was hiding. Girls loved to shop, and they loved even more to show off the results of all that hard work. We exchanged numbers so that we can get a hold of her on short notice, and then we set off. Less than one day, and that beautiful Aston Martin had been destroyed. I wanted to beat Gunner to a pulp, but that was risky in front of all the other frightened police officers. Oh well, nothing to be done for it. Maybe I would get Gunner a Hummer next, or a tank.
Chapter 23
Gunner dropped me off at Plato's Cave, with me telling him I would call him when I was ready. I spotted Indy behind the counter, but no customers present. She was wiping off the counter with a focused gleam in her eyes. Spotting me, she straightened with a smile.
Evening, Captain.
Indy.
I breathed the word like a man dying of thirst. Her smile turned inappropriate, and her cheeks reddened.
Well, you sure know how to pronounce a name. I don't think anyone has ever said my name like that before.
She eyed me up and down, eyes tightening at the dust and debris all over my clothes. She plucked out a few pieces of glass windshield from my hair, her thumb brushing my temple in the process.
You're a mess, Nate,
she whispered softly, her eyes concerned.
Yeah, and I have to head back out.
The company requests my presence. I made the word company sound like a curse.
Not like this, you can't.
Come on. She grabbed my hand and began weaving through the glass dividers, guiding me upstairs to my loft. One of my other employees watched us curiously. Indy noticed also.
Nate's run into a bit of trouble. I'm going to doctor him up a bit before he leaves again. Can you watch over things for a bit, Alex?
Alex, a blonde-haired Greek med student, nodded with a grin.
Doctor him up, huh? Sounds nice. Can I watch?
His grin grew wider. Indy glared.
Careful, Alex. Look at him. And tell me he doesn't need it.
Alex looked me up and down for the first time.
Shit, Captain. You all right? I'm the med student. Maybe I should help you.
He took a step towards us. I held up a hand, grateful for his help, but knowing that I needed to say some things to Indy that no other ears were privy to. Thanks, Alex, but it looks worse than it is. She'll be fine. Her doctoring probably means something more like, chew Nate up and down for his poor safety choices this afternoon. My pride would appreciate it if no other males were present to witness my downfall. I've got a reputation to uphold. He grinned again, nodding knowingly.
Ha! In that case, good luck. She's got a tongue like a razor.
I'll watch over the ship for you.
We managed to get it all cleaned up after the break-in. What do you think?
He spread his arms at the shop proudly. It looks great. Thanks for taking care of everything today. And also the premiere for Gods of Chaos 4 last night. I'm glad you all made it out of here before the burglars peeked their noses in. He nodded agreement. Good turnout? He laughed, shrugging.
Didn't take much convincing. I mean, Gods of Chaos 4? Seriously? Divorces have resulted from keeping a guy away from that franchise. It was fantastic. They really upped the visuals and...
He realized he was babbling and stopped.
It was great. I'll update you at the meeting next week. Go get doctored up. We can't have our fearless leader looking like a stray now, can we?
With that, he turned away. Indy mouthed thank you before leading me up the stairs. I spoke my thoughts before thinking. I don't think you have a tongue like a razor, but I have wondered lately. My implication was instinctual, still slightly dizzy from my new power high. She stumbled up a step, turning a red face at me.
I've made my intentions clear, Nate. If we were at Chateau Falco right now, I might just have resorted to the kind of doctoring every man wants from a woman. I can be such a good nurse.
It was my turn to stumble. She laughed lightly, her hand squeezing mine as she led me into my loft. She closed the door behind us and began to reach for the blinds to the windows overlooking the store. Instead, I snapped a finger and they instantly closed. She turned to me, eyes moving slowly, dreamlike.
Makes a girl wonder what else a wizard can do.
I grinned back. You have no idea.
Oh, but you were wrong. I have many ideas. Just no facts. Yet.
She winked, gliding towards the bathroom in that seductive sway that only girls can do. The grace of movement that could somehow make men physically hungry. She strode into my bathroom, and I heard the water turn on. My employees had even cleaned up my loft so that it was almost unnoticeable that anyone had broken into it last night. A few minutes later, she leaned out the door smiling.
Here, boy.
She patted her thigh as if calling a dog. I grinned, shaking my head, but complied. I did need a shower. I entered the room, the mirror already fogged over. Candles were lit and they filled the room with a warm glow, made more appealing by the steam from the shower. I didn't see her because it was a big bathroom, and the change in lighting slowed me down. The door closed behind me, and I felt Indy's fingers touch my coat.
Close off,
she said softly from behind me. Indy, I began, feeling worse for what I needed to say next. Her fingers touched my lips, tasting sweet like strawberries. Must be her lotion.
Trust me, Nate. You need help to get all the shards out of your hair.
Her breath was like a breeze of fresh mint, not gum or candy, but the herb. Spicy. I complied, tugging off my coat and shirt and tossing them on the floor. She hissed when she saw the wound on my forearm from Raven's attack. I waved off her concern with a smile.
It's okay. It's already healing.
She frowned and moved behind me. Her arms encircled my bare waist, and I immediately flinched in pain.
What's wrong? That shy?
She asked softly, curiously fingering the leather thong with a dragon tooth.
I think you brushed a bruise,
I said, surprised that I hadn't noticed it earlier. She leaned to my side and inhaled sharply. I looked down to see three large black bruises around my sides where the red dragon had dangled me over the courthouse. Then I saw more from the net launcher.
It's okay. I just didn't notice it until now, I mumbled.
She was breathing heavy against my back, her cheek pressed against my shoulder blades, and I realized that I was sore there too from one of the several fights I had been in. I peeled off the rest of my clothes until I was standing in only my Superman boxers. She circled me, hungrily looking me up and down.
Off?
She said, motioning at my boxers before turning away with an amused grin. She sat down on the edge of the tub, and I realized that it wasn't a shower, but a eucalyptus-scented bubble bath that she had drawn for me. She held out a hand, still looking away as I undressed.
I won't peek,
she whispered. Dropping my boxers, I grasped her fingers, sensing the warmth under her skin, and just stood there for a minute. Her hand finally tugged at mine, so I obeyed, climbing into the steaming tub. I groaned. It was perfect. Not too hot, not too cold, and I had made sure to buy a tub that was big, wide, and comfortable enough to hold two, or more people. I plan ahead, folks. One safely settled underneath the foam. Indy turned back to me, snatching up a nearby pitcher. Her shirt stretched tight across her breasts. She leaned over me and scooped up some of the warm water, her hand dipping below the bubbles. The motion drew the shirt up a bit above the waist of her jeans, revealing a tanned expanse of hips and flat stomach, as well as a tiny ribbon of red panties. She raised her hand, now coated in bubbles, and began pouring it through my hair, slowly, sensually, with her lips slightly open. She lathered some tea tree shampoo in her palms and then stretched her fingers through my hair like a cat pawing a soft blanket. Her manicured nails gently raked my scalp, making me shiver despite the heat, as she plucked out several glass shards and tossed them into a trash can. Huh. I had never experienced anything quite like this before.
Keep your eyes closed, Nate.
My mind went all sorts of adolescent on me, but I listened. The pitcher brushed my inner thigh, but she continued pouring the water over my head, washing out the shampoo without comment.
Talk to me, Nate. I know you have a lot going on right now, but I'm here for you.
She tugged on my shoulder, making me open my eyes and sit upright. She had a washcloth in one hand and began tenderly scrubbing my back as she waited. Macho man that I am, I managed to suppress grunts of pain when her cloth brushed any bruises. I said the first thing that came to mind. I got a call from the company. They discovered some video surveillance from the room where my parents were found. It's password protected for me, so they haven't seen it yet.
If it's password protected, do you even know the password?
She asked softly, her washcloth creeping lower down my spine. My parents gave me a list of potential passwords that I could use, depending on the severity of the need, in the event of a problem. I'll go through them, starting with the worst scenario first, I guess. She murmured to herself as she leaned closer, one hand squeezing my shoulder for support as she reached even lower, cleaning the lowest of my back and the top of another area entirely. I almost lost it when her breast brushed my arm.
So strong,
she whispered, massaging my shoulder unconsciously, or consciously. Either way was fine with me.
You have scrapes on your back. Is that from this afternoon?
I shrugged. Or possibly yesterday. Before I picked you up, I got into a bit of a tussle, but Mallory and Gunnar helped me out of it. Her lips tightened, but she nodded.
What really happened today? I don't think your condition has to do with a business meeting at Temple Industries, or the break-in.
She climbed down from her perch on the edge of the tub and knelt beside it to better reach my sides. I chose honesty. Somewhat. I have to duel someone tonight. Someone strong.
And I don't know if I can win.
Then I have to confront another group of... I hesitated, not wanting to scare her. Bad guys who want something very badly. Enough that they might have even had something to do with my parents' deaths. Her hands paused at that, but quickly resumed their work, pressing me back against the tub so that she could move to my chest. Like an expert, she started high, saving the lower area for last. I realized that as much as I cared about Indy, I didn't know if I could ever fully bring her into my life. It was just too dangerous, even for me. But she was a regular. She was defenseless. Well, she had martial arts and firearm training and was damn good at both, but not enough training to jump into my weight class of bad guys. Dragons were out of her league. Hell, they were out of mine too. I had to decide if I was going to keep allowing her to assume we were an item, or if I was going to shatter that potential outcome. Her washcloth came to my abs and I tensed instinctively. She smiled at my reaction.
Well, if you were asking my advice, I would say that it's pretty damn important that you win your... duel?
She made the word a question. I nodded. I didn't know people still use that word anymore. But I guess your life is not of our time, is it? I shook my head, glad she steered the conversation in this direction, but also hesitant to squash my feelings for her. Maybe once this fight was over, I would be able to calm down, slow down my life, work for the company, and stop taking on such dangerous clients. Her advice was right, though. I had to win tonight. Everyone depended on me surviving, so I could deal with the dragons after. You're right, Andy. I do have to win tonight. I just don't know how. Some strange things happened today. I fought some things that I had never dealt with before, and luckily, I came out on the right side. But I wasn't ready, and it could have cost others their lives. I can't be reckless when it comes to others. When it was just me, I didn't mind, but now...
I looked her in the eyes, placing my fingers atop hers. She stared back, eyes defiant.
My life is too dangerous, even for me. I couldn't bear having someone I care about hurt by something they can never defend themselves against. Like you. That's why I've always kept you at arm's length. As good as you are, my enemies would make a game of hurting you, just so they could see me hurt more before they finish me off. I can't allow that. You've been my rock through some pretty rough parts, but I run two lives. I just can't seem to help it. I know it's dangerous, but it's a part of me that I can't give up.
Those are the only moments where I truly feel alive.
The other life is just a balance, safety and security for the dangerous half.
Sometimes they overlap.
She smirked at that. But I must attempt to keep those I care about safe.
She waited, and then as if I had said nothing, continued washing my abs, her delicate fingers massaging deep into my muscles through the soapy cloth. My blood was hot, seeming to melt the weariness from the muscles underneath her expert fingers. She finished cleaning all the appropriate places. Her hand paused for a moment, and then she spoke softly.
"I think you should handle the rest, Master Temple,"
she whispered with emphasis. She opened her eyes to stare at me, a feral, hungry gleam twinkling in the blue ice chips of her irises.
Alex might begin to wonder what kind of doctoring I am doing.
I nodded dumbly. She climbed to her feet, bending at the waist as she plucked up a stray piece of glass on the floor. Her face was close to mine, and her warm, soapy fingers caressed my temple.
I seem to remember you saying something about danger, but the steam must have made me forget. It must have not been that important. Teach me how to protect myself better, because I am not going anywhere unless you make me. Words are not enough to impede me from taking what I want, and what I know you also want. Danger is something I love just as much as I care for you, and it's why I'm still around. Man up, Nate. I am.
She smiled to ease the sting of her words, and then turned on the balls of her feet, and left me. I would hurt later. Any more cleaning and I would have had to tip her. As it stood, I would remember this bath for a very long time. First pleasantly, and then with an ache that isn't entirely unpleasant in its own right. Guys are different from girls. Teasing can cause pain later, if the teasing was good enough. And yes, her teasing was glorious. Chapter 24. I stepped out of the bathroom in my robe, not wanting to leave the safety of my home. It wasn't just that I was scared, because I was terrified. Battling the Minotaur was not on my bucket list. This could be a very short day for the last Temple heir. And it wasn't just because I didn't want to go to Temple Industries and see whatever digital feed they had told me about, even though I didn't want to see that either. I couldn't imagine what kind of clip I would see. But if it was password protected from even their most trusted employee, Ashley Belmont, then it was not going to be pleasant. No. It was more than that. I could still feel Indy's touch on my skin. The whole process of her bathing me clung to my soul. I felt stronger, more sure of myself, and I didn't want to leave that behind. I had experienced frequent dalliances with the fairer sex, but never before had I experienced such a strengthening as she had just shown me with a simple bath. I wanted to relish that feeling, and knew that the moment I stepped out the door, all hell would break loose, and the feeling would evaporate like the intensity of that first spray of cologne that leaves the skin somewhere during the middle of the night, when you want it on the most. I sauntered over to my desk, the robe brushing my knees as I moved. I sat down before my desk, steepled my fingers, and glanced at my phone. I needed to make a call, a legally questionable call to an old college friend. To do that, I needed to use the scrambled sequence she had given me, so that neither call could be traced to us. Paranoid? Yes. She was one of the most wanted cyber criminals in the country, possibly even the world. Her true identity was still a secret to the governmental agencies,
but as I didn't know how close anyone was to catching her, or even if she was still being hunted, I couldn't use a social call to talk business with her. She would also be less than pleased if I did such a thing. I flipped open my iMac and clicked the hidden icon on the desktop that she had sent me, an encryption software that was years ahead of even most governmental branches. I typed in my cell number as prompted and clicked enter. The software began bouncing my cell phone number from one country to the next in 5-second intervals, making triangulation impossible. I watched this all happen on a Google Maps image of the Earth. Then it began switching my number at each location shift until it revealed a temporary number for me to use, good for only the next 7 seconds. I hesitated. Did I want to do this? No. But I had to. Othello would probably relish the call. It had been a while since we spoke. I quickly typed in a number from memory. The system chimed and then began tracing the number, the sequence of digits actually a code she had given me, and not necessarily a true phone number. But the system knew what to do with it. After a few seconds, her voice came to me, through the speakers, in Russian. I smiled at that, anxious to use the language after so long. That was, after all, where we had met in college, taking Russian together. It was my 4th language, but I think it was her 9th. 9th fluent language, not counting any other she dabbled in.
Привет, Фарос. Как дела?
I grinned. Hello, Фарос. How are you? Фарос was the nickname she had immediately given me upon discovering that I was a wizard. The Alexandrian lighthouse because she said that I shed light on shadows for a living, while she created shadows in the light so that she could work in concealment for a living.
Очень хорошо, а ты?
I answered, already missing her, but knowing we wouldn't be able to talk personal matters over such a secure line. No breadcrumbs could be left behind for others to follow.
Not bad. Very, very busy. As much as it pains me to shorten our conversation, keep it fewer than 3 minutes, if you please. What can I help such a dear flame with this morning?
I could practically see the smile on her face as she said it. I realized that wherever she was, it must be morning. Or she was simply throwing false trails in the event someone had hacked into our conversation. One never knew with Othello. We were still speaking Russian, and it took me a few seconds to phrase my questions correctly. I heard her chuckle once I was finished.
Your Russian is growing stale, Faros. Perhaps you need to find a new Russian bedmate to fine-tune that precious tongue of yours. You are beginning to sound rudimentary at best.
That was one place we had frequented together, studying our inflections between marathon bouts of, well, you know. She continued, conscious of our limited time frame.
Now, may I ask what Faros finds so interesting in such an old book? And what it might have to do with the coming eclipse, or the Minotaur?
She said the last word in English, but with a heavy accent. I felt proud, realizing that I wasn't the only one who had trouble translating that particular word.
You may not, I answered, smiling. No fun. You will receive an encrypted email shortly with all the pertinent information. May I ask why the interest in this Tomas?
I watched the screen still bouncing her calls throughout the Google Maps image of the Earth. Just a new face in the game I find myself playing, and I don't like new faces when my life is on the line. Her voice grew clipped.
No one is allowed to hurt my Faros. Do you want me to arrange an accident? I have new friends who specialize in such things.
She spoke very softly. Was she asking if I wanted to place a hit on a dragon hunter? I shook my head. Not necessary. Yet. But thank you, I said quickly, very aware of the time ticking down. I asked her a few more questions, and she said she would include it all in the email within the hour. You might need to expand your search to include myths. Anything might be helpful, even though it may not seem so to you. My specialty finds useful tidbits where others would not.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I know your specialty very, very well.
She purred with a thick Russian accent. My already testosterone-laden body responded, memories of tangled sheets filling my mind. She laughed at my silence.
No need to be prude, Faros. We shall chat soon. I may have need of your help in the future, but next time our conversation should be closer. I very much wish to witness your specialty firsthand once again. Check your email soon.
Then the line went dead,
and the software shut down immediately. My computer rebooted of its own accord, running diagnostics that changed my IP address and a slew of other safety precautions, basically erasing that my computer had even been running for the last 20 minutes. Pretty neat. I leaned back in my chair, sighing. I hadn't thought about our bedroom tussles in years, but she had been one of my best. That brought my thoughts back to Indy. Judging from my bath, I assumed she might even be able to top Othello's skills. Sensing something was out of place on my desk, I scanned its surface and was shocked to see a satin red thong hanging off my lamp. I flinched, quickly snatching them away as if trying to hide them from any witnesses. I felt a piece of parchment folded around the tiny triangular crotch and grinned. I unfolded it, reading the hastily scrawled lipstick note. The color matched the thong perfectly. I have read that warriors were usually dressed by their lovers before battle, but I hope that what I did will suffice. I have also read that heroes carry a trophy into duels for good luck, so I left you a trinket. Touch for touch, Nate. Your turn next. A grin split my face as I stuffed the thong into my robe pocket. Good luck indeed, and also motivation to get my ass home as quickly and as intact as possible. Maybe I had found a dinner after all. No more dessert dishwomen for me, if I survive the next few days. I dialed a phone number and waited.
Mallory,
he answered. Hey, Mallory, I said. I was hoping you could pass on a message for Dean. Mallory grunted affirmatively. I made my request, listening to him scribble the note down on a pad of paper. Repeat the address if you don't mind, I asked at the end.
I don't need to repeat the address, Master Temple. We both went there the other night. It should be there within the hour. I believe your father had already paid for this specific item, and I hear it just had recently came out of surgery, so it's sitting there now. The trick will be how to list it. Only Dean would be able to complete the last request, though, since he has power of attorney with your estate, and he won't be happy about having to leave the chateau.
It's important. I'll make it up to him. Mallory grunted.
It will be done, Master Temple.
Then he simply clicked off. I nodded, wondering around the room for an appropriate change of clothes for the order of unusual events I would be facing tonight. I knew I would be back to meet with Peter this evening, so I could grab the last change of clothes then, if I was still in one piece after the Minotaur. I realized I was thumbing the thong in my pocket and grinned to myself. They were still warm. Very warm.
Chapter 25. Dressed and prepared for battle in my Hugo Boss suit, I picked up my phone and dialed the number Officer Marlin had left me. She answered on the second ring.
Officer Marlin?
Master Temple, I quipped, following her terse response. She chuckled.
You mean Archangel, I'm sure. One should hear the scuttlebutt around the water cooler after the event at the bridge.
I think I'll stick with Master Temple. It's catchier.
Still, Archangel has a nice ring to it.
I made a disgusted sound. You ready to entertain a less-than-deserving gentleman caller at an expo this evening?
Your gift made my choices much easier than I was accustomed to. I found something rather flashy. I hope it won't be too much.
No one would dare complain that a flower blooms. I heard a surprised but definitely pleased intake of breath.
Well, that wasn't what I was fishing for, but thank you. How many times have you used that line?
Alas, just this once. But if you vouch for its effect, I might keep it up my sleeve.
It's definitely a keeper.
Noted. I shall pick you up in an hour or so. Is that enough time?
More than enough. I've already been preparing just in case.
I'm sure you didn't have much difficulty. You were already more than halfway there when we met. She sighed on the other end of the line.
From a near-death experience to a ball, young girls imagine stories about this sort of thing.
But they imagine those stories with a gentleman or a prince. I'm neither.
Debatable, she answered with a demure chuckle.
Gunner has your address, so we'll see you then.
I hung up.
My phone chirped back at me almost as soon as I set it down on my desk. Richard Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries blaring loudly. I let it play for a few seconds, enjoying the jingle, then answered. It was Gunner.
Nate, there is a man outside my office adamantly waving car keys at me, declaring that I left them at a restaurant that I never visited before. Do you have any idea why he's here?
I suppressed a grin.
Not the foggiest. I paused. Why don't you do one of your FBI things, like running the plates to see who the keys really belong to?
We're not supposed to use government resources for personal reasons,
he answered. Very textbook. Someone out there is looking for their keys, and someone happens to bring them to your attention. And you are not going to try to discover who they belong to? I argued derisively. And you wonder why bureaucracy doesn't work, why citizens are so concerned.
Fine.
I heard him fiddle with his keyboard, rapidly typing in commands. His voice was distant, speaking to someone else in the room.
License plate number.
A shuffling of paper, then utter silence.
You're kidding me,
he said in disbelief, voice full of disapproval to the agent in his office. I managed to tap the mute button on my phone before I burst out laughing into Gunner's earpiece. A muffled argument took place as the agent vehemently defended his information.
Fine. Fenrir, it is then,
Gunner snapped. I heard more keys tapping, and then another deathly silence. It stretched on for a full minute, then longer. Did you mean to hang up on me, Gunner? We haven't spoken for a while, I said neutrally.
Fuck you and the horse you rode in on, he growled.
I take it you found the owner? I asked. I heard him dismiss the agent before speaking to me.
The report declares that a certain Gunner Randolph and Nathan Temple have owned this 2012 Land Rover Defender hardtop for the last 3 months. Funny, because I don't remember ever using my home as collateral for a...
I heard a few more clicks.
$80,000 SUV.
I remember you having it, but you sent it off to Vilner for customization, which added on close to $100,000, if I remember correctly.
It's not as expensive as the Aston Martin,
he said, disappointed. You destroyed the Aston Martin in less than 12 hours. This thing has bulletproof glass and all sorts of other additions that would make it practically impossible to total, unless you wanted to play chicken with an armored truck heading out of Fort Knox. That might be a different story. Then again, with as much as we spent on this guy, the armored truck might just die in shame.
Nate, this is definitely crossing the line.
I argued back ready. It's registered to me with you as co-owner. Should be fine. Just take the keys. Public transportation would cramp our style tonight.
I will be fired for this. You ready for your chauffeur?
He asked, resigned. If you please.
I don't.
Then I'm afraid I must insist.
20 minutes then, asshole.
I love it when you talk dirty to me. He hissed.
You do realize that this call is probably being recorded, right?
Of course. My company provided the tech, pro bono. See you soon. He sighed on the other end of the line.
Nate.
Yes, I answered carefully.
Thanks.
It sounded like he had been tortured into saying that single word. Men don't say thanks. That's gushy girl talk. Just drive the shit out of it when necessary. It's really just an insurance policy for our survival, the way you drive anyway. I knew I was supposed to be staying out of the investigation into my parents' murder, as Turner Locke had informed me, but I couldn't just leave this on Gunner's shoulders. It was my responsibility, too, and I knew shit would hit the fan soon, and he would need my help.
Asshole,
he muttered.
By the way, I tried calling your dragon hunter a few times, but he hasn't answered. I also can't find a speck of dirt on him, let alone any hard facts. Think it's an alias? Have you heard anything?
I began to speak when my phone beeped. I looked down.
Huh?
Speak of the devil. I think that's him on the other line. Be here in 20 and I'll tell you what I find out. He grunted, and I clicked over. The very magnificent Master Temple at your service. How can I assist you, you wicked dragon hunter, you?
We haven't had much luck hunting any dragons, where it seems you've been doing nothing but that.
He didn't sound pleased. Need me to train you on my extensive skills? So far I count 2, possibly 3, dead at my hand. I fudged the number a bit, because technically Peter had killed Raven, but Tomas didn't need to know that. And I haven't even been trying.
Your survival skills are rather impressive, but I seem to remember a net launcher saving the city of St. Louis from having a wizard-shaped smear on her sidewalk yesterday,
he said suggestively. So it wasn't Spider-Man. Damn.
What?
Nothing, listen. I'm kind of busy. Need the lesson or not. He grunted.
We're fine, but it seems they really have a hard-on for you. If we had simply been following you around, our job would have been over by now.
You mean your contract would be finished? He was silent for a minute.
Perhaps.
Who hired you? Because I'm sure that would give us one of those clue things that seem to help one understand complicated situations.
Not important,
he answered immediately. Okay, fine. Does the eclipse have any significance to you? A longer silence.
Perhaps. Why do you ask?
I don't know if it's related, but shortly after we had our pleasant introduction, I found a note my father had left me, warning me of the eclipse.
How cute. Your father left you a napkin note, and you think it's relevant. Typical. It was written in his own blood.
I felt him stiffen through the phone.
Apologize. I know what it's like to have a family like yours, and to suddenly lose the patriarch. My family is very old, tracing our lineage back to the Crusades.
Uh-huh, I answered, not hiding my boredom. My laptop chimed behind me.
You don't sound surprised.
Hold on a minute, if you would be so kind, I answered, clicking the email open on my laptop. After a long password, I opened the encrypted file from Othello and read quickly, catching the highlights. Tomas Mullingsworth, XRN. I thought you said you were from Brooklyn, I added curiously. Silence answered me. Served in Afghanistan, much redacting, but wait. I made the false sounds of heavy typing and then came back. Questionable operations. 3. Drunken bouts with superior officers. 7. I paused. Really? That's quite impressive. His voice was full of rage.
How dare you? That is personal information.
I let the silence build, his furious huffing the only sound between us. My life is quite personal to me, and when it has been close to taken a handful of times in a span of days shortly after meeting with your targets, I decided it wise to learn more about all the players involved. Was I wrong? Would you have done any different? The silence built, and then he let out a breath.
You are a very dangerous man, Master Temple. I see why I have some declared this city poach-free. Your research seems quite extensive. No one has ever been able to redact that information, let alone find it. I made sure it was buried deep.
Never deep enough for me, Tomas. And you should remember that. This is my being polite.
Good to know. Now, what do you want?
The eclipse. Ring any bells?
Not directly, but I have heard stories, legends really. Some dark ritual the dragons have been searching for, but they have never found what they need to perform it. I don't know exactly what they need, what they seem to be missing.
I think it's safe to say that they have discovered it somewhere near my city. He grunted,
but I don't know what this has to do with my mark. I have heard neither hide nor hair of him since we arrived, just a trail leading here, and then nothing.
Tell me about him. I said carefully. If you trust me, perhaps we can help each other. I just want this all to stop. I don't care who gets credit for it.
I was hired to take out a rogue black dragon. Sometimes he goes by the name Rago. Ever heard of him? Seen him?
I shook my head and realized he couldn't see me. No. I searched Othello's documents for the name, but came up with nothing. Why would your client want him dead? Or whatever it is you do.
Questions aren't part of the job, just the money for a head. I have never met a good dragon, so it is pretty cut and dry. But this one is dangerous. Comes from an old family. Have you ever heard of a black dragon?
He asked me very slowly. I could sense the seriousness, so I kept my answer formal. No, but I've recently seen a rainbow of others, even silver.
Yes, I heard about that one on the news. Also very dangerous, but nothing compared to the black.
I was on the news? I asked, surprised.
Yep.
He let the silence build, but I knew Gunner was on the way. I've seen a red one spit fire, I added. He growled, a familiar sound from Tomas, I was beginning to realize.
We almost had that one on the courthouse until that crazy old man harpooned her with a lightning stick. He one of yours?
Yes, I answered carefully.
Tim. Maybe we should have you teach us a thing or two. You're mighty resourceful for a noob dragon slayer.
I'm mighty resourceful with anyone who tries to kill me, whether I know dick about them or not. He laughed deeply. I saw the yellow one create oily fire, and the silver one could spit bullets in all sorts of shapes and sizes. I thought back, and they all had some kind of mind control power. Is that common?
He was quiet for a few seconds, and I realized he was taking a drink. Obviously something stiff because his voice came back raspy.
Not common at all.
So you're saying that the first dragons I have ever encountered are uber-dangerous, cream-of-the-crop murderers?
Seems that way.
Of course they were. Okay, so what's so special about the black one? He took another drink, and then he spilled his words in a rush.
It is said, because I have never met someone who has survived one, that they can bend shadows, appearing and disappearing at whim. Their mind magic is so subtle and powerful that their victims won't realize until days later that they have acted any different than normal. They can melt fire, petrify with a look, shapeshift into different people entirely, mind-fuck other dragons, etc., etc. Point being, the most dangerous of the bastards. Do you have any idea what kind of reputation a kill like that could make?
If he is guilty, of course.
Right. I show up in town hunting rumors of the most badass dragon in centuries, and all of a sudden you have a reptile dysfunction in your city.
I began laughing. Nice. I will have to remember that. Tomas grunted in pride before continuing.
A flock of lady dragons murdering and pillaging for no reason. Probably just a coincidence.
Harem, I corrected.
What?
I like to think of them as a harem. A bunch of females at your beck and call. Harem. Definitely a harem.
Fine. A harem.
He chided, sounding upset he hadn't come up with it himself.
But why would a book be so important to them?
I pondered aloud. Tomas was quiet.
A book? Is that what this is all about? Why they've been killing all your nerds?
See? Information trading is beneficial, and I am one rich motherfucking nerd. Thank you very much.
Spill it, Temple.
Each one I've encountered, or seen the aftermath of, was searching for a book. The Sons of the Dying Sun. Does that mean anything to your extensive knowledge on dragons? I mocked.
Can't say that it does. Do you think it's what they have been searching for all this time? For their ritual?
I haven't the foggiest, I admitted. But it seems awfully important to them. Enough to risk losing a few of his flock to the local wizard billionaire.
Billionaire?
He gasped.
Why in the hell aren't you in Bora Bora fucking, drinking and fucking your problems away?
Already done as much of both as I could before becoming a local nuisance.
Damn. You do this for fun, then.
To be honest, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. The first dragon just kind of stumbled into my lap. I remembered that first encounter and grew angrier. She pissed me off by destroying a treasured tome. One-of-a-kind type of book.
Did you just say the word tome?
He asked, barely containing his laughter. It is what an educated man calls those flippy, heavy things with pieces of paper and strange symbols inside. They also have some with pictures, but those are usually not called tomes.
All right, Merlin, he chuckled.
I scanned the email from Othello, catching Hermes' name a few times.
Interesting.
I haven't been able to find much on this book, barely that it even exists. Just mentions and vague references, but no hard facts. I didn't think I would be even that successful, or they would have undoubtedly found it by now.
True.
I heard Indy shout my name from downstairs. I gotta run, Tomas. I'll be visiting Artemis Garter tonight, a club in the Central West End. Judging from my track record, no doubt I'll run into some interesting people there. You should have men there just in case. That way you aren't bitching at me tomorrow about stealing your glory and all that. He laughed for a long time.
No way. You're picking there to hang out in the middle of all this. You really are a reckless bastard.
I frowned. Never been there. But it has an open roof, which is good for quick escapes. And Artemis is the moon goddess, so it fits, I offered.
Whatever. See you there.
He laughed again as he hung up. Why did everyone laugh at my choice of locale? Guess I would find out later. I gathered up my things, pocketed my phone, and raced down the stairs. Indy was watching me curiously. I fingered her thong in my pocket and shot her a smile, revealing a bit of the thin satin so that only she could see.
I will return them to you as soon as I am able, my lady.
Such a gentleman, she cooed. Like the note?
I simply stared back, undressing her with my eyes. My look must have worked because her cheeks tinted the slightest red. I used a bit of magic to pinch her behind. And she squeaked. I shall see you soon, I laughed.
Quite literally,
she winked back seductively so that only I could see. Alex looked back and forth between us, apparently not understanding.
You two are acting kind of weird,
he said, but appeared aloof to our true conversation. Indy intended for me to see quite a bit more of her soon. It sounded like a good idea to me.
There's a monstrosity of a vehicle parked diagonally in front of our store. Just because he has a badge doesn't mean that he gets to block your customers from the entrance,
Indy grumped, very manager-like.
Agreed.
I'll file a complaint with the FBI. I bolted out the door and saw Gunner pressing buttons on the dash, a look of pure joy on his face. He was early. The silver SUV gleamed in the sun, shiny rims and military-grade tires lifting the body up high. I slid inside with the aid of the "Oh Shit" bar just above the inside of the passenger door and smiled back at him.
This is so cool, he grinned.
Glad you like it. The manager of Plato's Cave would like to file a complaint against the FBI for a terrible parking job that is blocking my front door from customers. He smiled back.
Call Captain Kosugi. I'll just run his little ass over with my shiny new tank.
I laughed, nodding.
Temple Industries?
He asked loudly, pressing a button. I began to answer when the navigation unit spoke back.
Estimated trip duration, 20 minutes. Please buckle your seatbelts.
Gunner pounded the wheel like a child with his new favorite Christmas toy and took off. Chapter 26. My dress shoes clacked against the floors as I strode down the marble hallway of my new palace, Temple Industries. Receptionists, scientists, engineers, mail clerks, and lower peasants all gawked openly as their new CEO meandered through the halls, hopelessly lost. I had been too stubborn to ask for help, and my minions had been too terrified to hurt my pride. So we walked, Gunner behind me, glancing here and there at different labs and offices. I had no fucking idea where we were.
So, is this the tour? Gunner mocked.
I sighed, finally pointing a commanding finger at one of my new minions carrying a bundle of papers. I need to speak with Ashley Belmont. Would you be so kind as to guide me to her office? He bumped into a copier, almost dropping his stack of papers.
Me?
No. The woman behind you. Bless his heart, he actually turned around to look. When he turned back, he was blushing furiously.
Follow me?
He said nervously, voice rising higher on the last word.
Sure thing. But let me offer a word of advice. Don't incline your voice at the end of your sentences. Apologizing is a sign of weakness.
Sir...
He hesitated.
Right. This way then, Master Temple.
His face turned even darker as he did it again.
Just think on it. I sighed reluctantly, motioning him onward.
He led us through the labyrinth of offices and labs, zigzagging this way and that, until he finally came to a set of thick black doors and a desk. An aged receptionist glared at him, and then us.
Appointment?
No,
I answered, feigning frustration.
Miss Belmont is rather busy, with that rapscallion temple's son doing nothing around here. I swear, if he walked in right now, I would give him a piece of my mind. It just isn't right to run a company like this.
I nodded back. The tour guide looked about ready to swallow his tongue, but remained silent out of corporate fear.
Be that as it may, you need an appointment. Honestly, I don't know how you got in here without beeping somebody.
She arched her neck to study Gunner.
He looks like a cop. Is that why you're here? A couple of upstart detectives looking for a case breaker? Well, you can just leave like all the others. Appointments are like the Ten Commandments around here, followed to a T.
She leaned back, face smug, with satisfaction. I smiled, unable to help myself. I hear all sorts of things about this temple son.
Is he as bad as all that?
Have you never seen him before? Gunner and the tour guide stiffened as one, not wanting to be a part of the conversation.
Off the record?
She asked, squinting her eyes. I nodded.
I hear he's into all sorts of depraved acts. Why, I hear he even...
She glanced around to be sure we were alone. She lowered her voice, leaning forward.
Has premarital sex. Frequently. With all types of women. It isn't right. It just isn't. He needs a strong role model. He needs to be here running his company. I hear he even smokes and drinks. Bah! If he were my son, I'd grab him by the ear and teach him a thing or two.